You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. Welcome. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. Y'all know the drill by now. We talk about it all. Sex, relationships, dream interpretation, personal growth. It doesn't matter. The idea is that throughout this program, we're going to introduce you to pathways and possibilities. And at the end of the day, the only intention of this program is to help you realize that you are the magic, and we just get to show you pathways and possibilities. You choose what works, you choose what resonates, and that's appropriate for you. I don't want you wearing something that's funky because some Joe Schmo that on the show said you should do it, or I said this is a groovy thing. It's got to feel right to you. But I'm going to tell you this: happiness takes courage. Say it every week. Love takes courage. And you are not going to be in the absence of fear to be courageous. You're going to do it anyway. Come with us on an inner journey.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life,
one life,
one need.
Leave a bad taste in your mouth. You act like you never had love, and you want me to go without. Well, it's too late tonight to drag the past out into the light. We're one, but we're
simple.
one love, one life.
In a time when the world is searching for enlightenment, one man...
I am His Holiness, the Guru Pitka. My goal is to get you to say, Gee, you are you, TM.
He's in a position to help.
Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, helping you realize and make real the life of your choosing.
KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach. Inner Journey with Greg Friedman.
Welcome back. Obviously, you know you are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And you know, there are so many people over the years, and I've worked with people one-on-one, I've worked teaching workshops, I've traveled all over the world teaching. In a little bit, we're going to go to India and Nepal to give some speeches and maybe teach a couple workshops. One of them I'm really looking forward to. One of them is teaching according to the indigenous way. And the other one that we're going to do is a children's workshop. And that rocks my world because there is such a strong connection to the universal energy in children that it's a joy. And it gets to just be play. And somewhere along the lines, we forgot to play. And that all of this is ultimately our playground. There have been people that have asked me over the years, what is it that I do? They've called me a shaman. I'm not. They've called me a medicine man. I am not. They have called me a curandero. Not. They have called me Jesus. Yeah, believe it or not, there have been people that have said that and meant it. And obviously, I ain't even close to that zip code. And there's been people that called me Satan, and I'm not close to that zip code either. I am an imperfect, flawed, screwed up human being. You want to call me anything? I'm a guide. I'm a warrior priest. What does that mean? It means that I know how to fight. I've fought for a lot of things. I've fought for spirit. I fought for peace. I've fought against peace. And I've resisted spirit throughout my entire life in one form or another. You want to sum it up? It's really, really simple for me. I want to leave every room better for me having been in it. Now, in this really strange political climate that we're in, it's not easy because I look at both sides of the aisle. I look at people that are very strong, staunch right-wing supporters, and I look at people that are equally staunch left-wing supporters. And I find that they have one incredibly detrimental thing in common. They want to win. I will talk to them, both sides of the aisle, about, hey, maybe we can acknowledge some basic truths. Maybe we could say that both sides of the aisle are pretty screwed up right now. Maybe we can acknowledge that both sides of the aisle are in the pockets of a lot of corporations. Maybe we could see that we have more in common in many, many ways than we have differences. And every time I offer these suggestions, I get told quite literally to go away. But to me, it just seems like simple math. Let's try to build a bridge, because the only way to actually win a battle is not to engage. You know, it's that simple. Are you willing to let go of winning in order to actually gain? Are you willing to have, even if having doesn't necessarily look like you'd like it to, or you thought it would? Maybe there's a way that we can all, in the words of one of the great philosophers for me in my life, maybe there's a way we can all just get along. And you are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we'll be back right after this.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. And no hell below us. And above us is only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion too. Imagine all the people living life for peace. And you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I am not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. And you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and that was Jack Johnson's version of Imagine. Very simple, very sweet, and very, very poignant. We're going to take one of your email listener questions right now. We have Janie calling in from, writing in from Daytona Beach. She said, I've been dating the sweetest man, but it feels almost too sweet and I want to run away. But I know I should get used to being treated nicely instead of abused. What can I do? Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple key words that you said in that, Janie. The biggest one that screams out is the phrase is instead of being abused. Well, you know, first of all, ain't nobody supposed to be abused, ever. And if you were being abused externally, you've got to make the change internally. So you no longer find it acceptable. You no longer condone it for you to be abused. That's half of this. And the other part of this is the sweetest man. Well, that's fantastic. It's really great to have somebody that's going to treat you kindly and warmly and attentively and be giving and loving. It's absolutely something that you get to get used to. But along the way, you could talk about how you're feeling. You could talk about where it's coming from and why you're feeling this way. And that way, it takes it away from personalizing. And it's not about he's bad or you're bad. It's about, hey, look, I'm working on this. And it's important to me. And it's important to me for my own sake. And it's important to me for our sakes. Then there's the third aspect of this. And that's, it's okay for you to look for something. Can you find strength in sweetness? Because a lot of times we equate strength with harshness or meanness. And that's simply not true. Because at the end of the day, you're also looking for a partner to be a safe container, to be a strong wall, to hold up and provide the house so you could be the home. And it's all right to look at it and ask for certain things that are going to help you along that way. First of yourself, and then possibly of another person. Really, really important to realize that most of this work is actually, in fact, an inner journey. And we'll be right back after a little Florence and the Machine.
My mind, it was a chorus of love.
You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM Community Supported Radio in Laguna Beach. I don't care how much you flap your arms and kick your feet, if you are still holding on to the side of the pool, you ain't swimming. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. And tonight we have some people that have joined me on more than a couple of occasions, and mostly because they're really wonderful human beings, and they're brilliant, and they talk about some funky old stuff. They really do something that a lot of people in this industry don't do so well. They unite spirituality and psychology. Tina Irwin and Laura Vantine are, to say the least, they are a dynamic duo combining knowledge and spirit. And they offer so many tools for walking a spiritual path. Their latest book is called Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties. Ladies, welcome to Inner Journey.
Thank you, Greg. We're delighted to be here. Thank you, Greg. That was a very nice intro. We kind of blushing here, both of us. Thank you.
All right. Y'all been on the show long enough to know what I normally ask first thing out of the gate. And you've described this in a number of different ways at different times, but same question. We've had so many different healers and shaman and medicine men and authors and artists and people of service in so, so many different ways. And to a person, there were things that thrust them onto their path and then thrust them further at different junctures along the way. I know that's true. You would. Which stories would you ladies care to share?
Well, go ahead, Tina. I think the best way to explain it is that for me, I spent 20 years in the Navy. I retired at the commander level. I worked for the submarine force, dearly loved it, loved those guys. And I married a submariner, so I'm very intimately involved with the submarine force, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered along the way that I had some level of psychic ability. And as time went on, I discovered that I could see ghosts, and then it took me a while. I had quite the learning curve.
Wait, back that up, because you said that so quickly. I want people to hear what you just said. You said what?
Along the way, I discovered that I could see and hear a ghost. Not because I sat down and I woke up one morning and I thought, I think I'll change my lifestyle, make my life a living hell. I decided to go. No. I didn't get that option. So it's basically not really a gift. It's not like this present you get to open up on Christmas or your birthday.
I would have given it back, let me assure you.
So I figured out, all right, I can see ghosts. I'm in Charleston, we were living in a haunted house, and I tried to figure out how to get rid of. That was the term I used. How do I get rid of this ghost from the 1700s who's making my life, my family's life, a nightmare? I discovered my neighborhood had a whole bunch of different ghosts. And so it started me on a journey of figuring out, how do you get rid of a ghost? And I used that term because I was not as educated as I needed to be. And so I sat down over years and studied and realized that I used the wrong term. I didn't need to hunt them or get rid of them. I needed to learn to help them. And along the way, I did learn how to help them. And that enabled me to not help Laura, but thousands of other people living and dead walk a better karmic path. So that's kind of a coconut shell for me. Your turn, Laura.
Well, we woke up one day and our house became...
What's the blue white man? Wait, no. My husband and I woke up and our house became a ghost superhighway. I mean, I think I may have said this before, but it was like we were living the Dr. Seuss book of ghosts. There were fat ones, scary ones, lazy ones, hairy ones, tall ones, small ones. They never stopped coming. No amount of giant bundles of sage and white light could get rid of them. And I spent 18 of probably the longest months of my life looking for the right help. And I remember this one psychic, her name was Nancy, out of Washington, D.C., had basically said to me, she's like, man, you have a big problem. No, she didn't. Was much kinder than that.
Wait, but was she talking about the ghosts or you personally?
Both, right? we had a lot of other things going on. I mean, just a lot of crazy stuff that was really, truly real that most people can't see or sense, but it affected us. And Nancy had told me, she says, I'm not the right one for you, but you're going to meet a woman in uniform. And I remember thinking, crap, what? A Denny's uniform, a police officer's uniform? What are we talking about here? So fast forward, what Nancy saw was basically a potential future. And
I'm going to jump in like I did with Tina. I'm sorry. That's a really important phrase that you just used, because I got to tell you, no, I'm going to have you elaborate on it and we'll talk about it. She saw okay. a potential future.
She saw a potential future, and I'm saying potential because futures are not always set in stone. So if somebody goes for a reading and says, the psychic told me I'm going to meet some, you know,
tall dark stranger.
Tall dark stranger on a subway, guess what?
Who was a healer from Atlantis, right?
You know, you got 50 of them on the subway or whatever. Which one do you pick? No, but seriously, a potential future. And all along the way that I was looking for help, I kept listening to my intuition. And every time I ran across somebody who could possibly help me, I knew it wasn't the right fit. I couldn't tell you why, but it was like I had this, like, imagine this checklist in my head. Nope. And it wasn't until Tina and I connected that we realized that there's actually a larger purpose or mission here. Yeah, we got rid of the ghost. I learned a lot. We now work together. But if I hadn't have had those experiences of literally living in hell in my home, with hell in my home, if I didn't have the experiences of discernment and what to do, I would not have known what I know now. So that was the potential future that Nancy saw for me.
Mm-hmm. And
you know, as we moved along, you know, Tina and I are basically a psychic team. We're a duo. We work together, and we tend to keep our egos in check as much as humanly possible because we are, you know, humans also. But our mission is to help the dead. We're not ghost hunters. We're ghost helpers. And years ago, Greg, you had used that phrase, and it stuck with me.
Well, it happens to be true. You guys, explain to the listeners that never have heard you before what you mean by you're not hunting them, you're helping them.
Tina, do you want to go ahead?
Well, I like Laura explained it really well. Do you really want someone to hunt your grandmother down or your child who died in an accident? Do you want somebody to hunt them down just so that they can have a scary moment? And the answer to that is no. What you really want is for someone to help them. But what happens if the person died 600 years ago or 400 years ago and you don't know them? Well, maybe that's okay. For us, it's not okay. Every soul who has not crossed over into the heaven world is a soul who really, really needs help. And since our show is the Karmic Path, our podcast is the Karmic Path, that soul is still earning karma as a ghost, because that soul is constantly affecting the living. And when they cause you to be afraid or have an accident, as I had a ghost happen to me, or push you into traffic, as I've had that happen too,
I'm not hanging out with you anymore.
Well, no, we now know.
Or choke you until you black out. These ghosts, you know, they're not always nefarious or malintended ghosts, but they all need help. They all need to be crossed over because they reside in the fourth dimension. Our physical world is the third dimension. The fourth dimension is where these ghosts reside, and it's literally a place between heaven and earth, and they're stuck there, and there's a lot of dark and scary entities that reside there. We're never going to use the word spirit because it's a catch-all phrase. It's like, you know, Greg, you and I are going to the zoo and we're, you know, at the big cat exhibit and I say, hey, look at the mammal. Uh-huh. If I say, hey, look at the spirit, you have no idea what I'm talking about. So we like to give names and labels to different types of entities.
Would you elaborate on that a little bit? Name some of the different subcategories, if you would.
For example, you have angels. We have many different types of demons or dark entities. We have lower realm.
A lower realm intelligence is what an awful lot of people see who are on drugs. They inhabit nightmares. They inhabit places of a very, very low frequency. And these are beings that are about 4 feet high. And the easiest way to explain them is if anyone has ever seen the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg, came out in the 90s. It was an extremely successful low-budget film, but really cool. Anyway, it shows as the two bad guys died, these dark beings with little beady eyes come out of nowhere. But they've actually been with these individuals all along, and they harass the person who has just died. And that harassment doesn't end in death. It continues. So that makes a big difference.
And, you know, part of this is when we help the soul cross over, they get the opportunity for soul restoration and healing. They don't get that in the fourth dimension. And September is Suicide Awareness Month, and we want to bring this up because suicide is a big deal, and people who commit suicide tend not to cross over, and they need our help in death. One of the ways, if you know of somebody who's committed suicide, you can go.
Before you even get there, if you would back it up just a little bit, what did you just say about people who commit suicide? It's really important to hear, and I'd like to understand it a little bit more before we go on. Can we do that, please?
Yes.
When a person is in such deep and profound despair that he or she has a desire to take their own life and or someone else's life or both, that person is the lowest possible frequency. Violence against oneself is an extremely low frequency. And so that person looks through eyes that only see gray. It's almost like they don't even see color.
And having a low frequency does not make you a bad person.
It just means that you are more susceptible to dark beings. And these dark beings feed on fear, trepidation,
Depression,
self-loathing, and all of the terrible feelings, guilt, shame, whatever negative word a person can apply to themselves. These beings and their handlers, and that's why we said there are many beings in the fourth dimension, they feed on the misery of a person who is depressed.
And Tina and I tend to call that soul food. These dark entities feed on these souls.
And so I've heard people say, well, you know, a person who took their own life just deserves to be in hell. And that is one of the cruelest and most unkind things you could possibly say. The individual who takes their own life is in a pit of despair that no one can fully understand or appreciate. And they are greatly deserving of everyone's compassion. It isn't about what we think. It's about what that person believed to be true about themselves.
And when you use the, we have a, on ghosthelpers.com, say that again, ghosthelpers.com, we have many crossing over prayers, but we have one that is specifically for crossing over a soul who has taken their own life. And so we urge people to use that. You don't need a medium. You don't need to go find a psychic. You don't have to Google who can do this. You can do it yourself. You just pluck up a little courage and just play the video. Play it several times. And when you have love and compassion in your heart, you're going to be able to have that person feel that help. It's like someone opens a door to the light, and they can't believe that that light is for them. But there's a, I would love to say that I created that prayer because I'm so brilliant. The fact was, I was just someone's secretary at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And this enables any person to help a loved one. Let's say that you have a bridge and a lot of people have taken their lives on the bridge. Take that prayer, play it on the bridge over and over and over. Help all those souls cross over. The bridge is in resonance with suicide. Let people keep going there. If you remove the ghost, people will stop jumping off.
You know, earlier this week, or was that last week even, I found myself, Greg, to be really, really depressed, and I didn't know why. And Tina and I decided to kind of work together, and in a nutshell, we found a lot of young men that committed suicide because they were abused by priests. And I know this has been coming out a lot lately, but these men were sexually abused by priests. They, many times they became drug addicts, and it wasn't just men, but the majority were men or boys, young men. And they truly felt that they did not deserve to go to heaven. Here they lived a tortured life of abuse. They died by their own hand, and now they've decided, they've been told that they cannot go to heaven. How sad is that?
And frankly, we're really grateful to have an opportunity to share what perhaps could be a different concept for some of the listeners, that you can help them. You do not need a building of wood and stone. It doesn't matter if someone tells you this can possibly be true. It is true. We've seen it, we've dealt with it, and we have crossed over thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have taken their own lives. And we urge people to think a little differently and imagine that if you were in a place of such darkness, wouldn't you want someone to be kind to you? Isn't that the essence? Isn't that the finest essence of every faith on the planet, whether it's Buddhist or Christian or Jewish or Hindu or whatever your faith is? The finest essence of every faith is kindness and compassion. You know, I should get on a pulpit. I'd do really well, don't you think?
Yes, you would.
All right. I'm going to jump in here because we need to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have more of Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine, and we'll dive further into their book called Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties. You are listening to Inner Journey, and we'll be back right after this.
No matter which way you go, no matter. No matter which way you go, no matter which way you go.
You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. All right, you guys, welcome back. We are here with Tina Irwin and Lara Van Tine, and we are talking about ghosts today. And these ladies are amazing ghost helpers. They have helped thousands of ghosts cross over to the other side. Ladies, welcome back to Inner Journey.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
You know, Tina, before we left for break, you said that you're a secretary for a higher level when you were getting a crossover prayer. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I have had people want to know, how could you write this series of prayers that actually work and cross over the dead in a matter of minutes? And they've been tested all over the world, by the way. Yeah, we have one guy who goes into graveyards in World War II, and he has played
in Germany,
and a lot of horrible places, and he plays it, and he just feels something shift. So I don't think I'm the only one. I think there are a lot of us who have a deep and powerful desire to help humanity, and that's part of being on a spiritual path. You have a deep and abiding love for humanity as a whole, for people. When we're crossing over thousands of people, we can't hear all their stories. All we know is that there's a group in front of us and they need help, and it is not up to us to judge them. And so through a long chain of events, we ended up writing this crossing over prayer in 2012. Because a very expensive handbag store had a whole bunch of ghosts, and I just couldn't keep going back and removing them, and neither could Laura.
Wait. Did you just say a very expensive handbag store had a lot of ghosts?
Yeah, there's $2,000 or $3,000 a handbag.
You know, you think these spiritual things happen when you're sitting on a mountaintop all alone with, you know, in the lotus position? Sometimes it happens in a mall in a handbag store.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, what had happened was the ghost stories from the ghost point of view book came out. And
book one.
And people were coming out of the woodwork saying, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me?
Wait. Here's what you just passed by. That's your book, right?
That's Tina's book.
Yeah.
Okay. And the title of the book again is called what?
Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, and there are now three volumes, volumes 1, 2, and 3. It's a trilogy. There are 63 individual and completely unique ghost stories from all over the United States and, I guess,
all over the world.
All over
really.
The world, yeah. Yeah.
And sorry for interrupting, but it would just that went a little bit too quickly, and I wanted to make sure that we knew you guys wrote that.
Thank you. We've written 7 books, and we have 2 more coming out next year.
Right.
Not a spare time.
And so both of us had iPhones that broke at the same time. And so we made appointments together and we were a little early and we go to this handbag store that's like across from the Apple store. And all of a sudden they were haunted and these ladies wouldn't open the store or close the store alone. They would always have to have somebody with them. That's how haunted the store was. And ironically, the 3 ghosts in the front of the store were 3 ladies who shopped till they dropped and kept shopping some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were some homeless in the back. And so we removed all those.
Wait, you're saying there were dead shoppers?
Yeah. They very wealthy ladies who just like shopping.
They didn't know they were dead, which is entirely possible. And they thought they were just on an eternal shopping trip. And you know, no one ever complained by how big the credit card bill was. So we moved them on. They're moving racks and their stuff's coming off of shelves and it's freaking out the staff. And, you know, we were looking around in the store and we handed them a business card saying,
you know, we really love your store, and we just, this book just came out. And they, and then the lady said, oh my gosh, the store is so haunted, this is what's happening. And so we removed them, and they said, yeah, those people are gone. They, a couple of days went by, and they said, but there's more, what can we do? And I said, you know, I'll get back to you. And we wrote the original Thing Over Prayer. And that, and we tested it and tested it, and they started to use it every single morning. And finally, there were no more ghosts. And their staff was much relieved to open that up. You know, and I have a client from Michigan who has a restaurant whose restaurant was extremely haunted. It was from the 1800s. And it was so haunted that the construction people, when they were doing the remodeling, would get injured, and there was all kinds of things going on. And long story short, she ended up using the crossing over prayer, and the activity has ceased, and the restaurant is now flourishing. So, and we've got testimonials all over the place. So this is a really good, solid prayer. If you think you have someone with you, use it. It's free. It's okay. An easy tool, and it's designed to help you, the living person, keep your power and not have to hire a medium that may or may not be questionable.
Ladies,
may or may not be competent.
People want to find out more about what you have to offer, either in books or in services. How would they go about doing that?
There's a couple of websites. One is ghosthelpers.com, and the other one that we use a lot, or that we have, is thekarmicpath.com, K-A-R-M-I-C, The Karmic Path. And all of these things are there on those websites. And along with The Karmic Path, we've got a series of podcasts that are weekly snippets of everyday karma, from, you know, parking karma to, I don't know, what do we got going on?
What happens when you don't change the oil in your $400,000 car?
Yeah.
The karma of that one was a riot.
Or, you know, just simply stuff about spirituality and ghosts and things like that. And we have, you know, all of the books on those sites as well. The newest book we have out is, as you mentioned, Soul Evolution, Past Lives and Karmic Ties. And what we've done is we've kind of, in a nutshell, have explained the basic nuances of how this works. We spend more time outside of a mortal body than in one. Let's think about that. On our deepest, darkest days, think about that. This means it's not forever. The situation is not always forever.
But it also means that souls are eternal. You cannot kill a soul. That's what Christ meant when he talked about life everlasting. He didn't talk about being compost. So when you can look at it that way, it can give you a different sense of hope and understanding. And it makes you take a different view of how you want to live your life and how you view yourself as you relate to the people around you.
So that's really interesting, especially given the events of the last week or so. You know, two incredibly and dramatically different people passed away. You had Aretha Franklin and you had John McCain. How, choose a path, ladies, if you would, and help me understand soul evolution through one of them.
Well, let's do John McCain, since he was a military guy.
John McCain was the fifth from the bottom as the anchorman, what's called the anchorman of his Annapolis class in the 60s. I don't remember what year he graduated from the
Naval Academy. Well, let's back up a little bit more before that. When we incarnate on this planet, we incarnate in family groups, soul groups. John McCain came from a family history of military and of service.
That's right. His grandfather and his father were admirals. And so there was this very interesting expectation that he would join the military. But not, sometimes that's not always a path a person thinks they're going to take, but it was probably expected. And, you know, our family tradition is the Naval Academy, because since she wasn't female in the 60s, they never made it. So he has a family history. has a legacy. He has a legacy that he's got to live up to, but is he living up to it, Tina, in the beginning? Well, he's kind of rebellious. It's the time of the Vietnam War, and a lot of people felt that the war was wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not here to debate whether or not the Vietnam War was right or wrong. It happened. It's over, thank God. But if you were a young man in the 60s, I'm not going to tap that table with him. You're very animated. It's like to tap things when she talks. If you were a young man in the 60s, you know, your draft number was going to be up and you were going to go to Vietnam. And so as a graduate of the Naval Academy, he went to flight school and became a carrier pilot. And he did forays and bombing runs over North Vietnam because that was the mission. That's what he was supposed to do. And he did 38 bombing runs before he was shot down. And he was shot down and ended up in a prisoner of war camp in Hanoi. It was called the Hanoi Hilton in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And because he was there with a lot of other prisoners. In fact, I wore the bracelet, the stainless steel bracelet with the engraved name of a prisoner of war. Mine was Paul J. Galante. I wore that bracelet till he got out, and he survived the prisoner of war camp. This is very real for me. And so when these men came home, I remembered watching them land and their families come and meet them. And John McCain had an opportunity to get out because his father was an admiral. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay because my other fellow prisoners don't have dads who are admirals. They don't get special treatment. Why should I? And in that moment, something in him changed. He looked at what was the greater good. How would he have lived with himself if he got out? And he knew that his buddies, who were no different from him, other than his accident of birth or the intention of birth. And so he chose a much harder road.
And this became more than likely his sole purpose or his sole mission.
And sometimes you pay a lot of karma up front. You have to pay it back for some reason. And you may not always know what the reason is, but you're paying something back. You're balancing karma in some way. I mean, this is one way to look at it. And he paid an awful lot of karmic dues in those 5 years. And it was a group karma effect with the other prisoners of war and the jailers and the torturers. It was a group karma. People think of it, that's just one or two people, but it's a group karma of all of them. They're all actors on a stage. They all have a role to play. And many years later, some of the jailers did seek John McCain out, and they talked about the role each of them played. And each one of the roles that one of the jailers played was helping John McCain figure out who he was as a human being, as a man. He was courageous. He was loyal to his fellow pilots. And he wanted to stand up and feel as if he represented his country well. I mean, I'm a naval officer. I know what that means. You take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And for me personally, I have a son in the Air Force. My husband and I have a son in the Air Force. We take that seriously on levels it's probably hard for anyone else to understand. But you take it because you have to put your life on the line for your fellow citizens. Not because you like war, but because you are protecting and defending a way of life. Even if we feel like our way of life is flawed or leaders are flawed, doesn't matter. It's the longer, larger picture that we're there for. And in those moments, John McCain decided who he was. And a lot of people who came out of Vietnam became homeless and hideously depressed and so emotionally broken they couldn't function. But that didn't happen to him. He made up his mind he would dedicate his life to service from that moment forward, and he did. So there's that little dissertation.
If I
so his soul evolution.
That's exactly. Let me get in here and ask this question, if I may. Because what I hear you saying, and I'm not sure I'm hearing you correctly, is that soul evolution is a necessity to be paid by karmic retribution or karmic offerings. Help me understand this, if you would.
Sometimes things happen in lives. For instance, let's say an injustice is done to someone in one life. And how does that injustice get balanced? Well, you can't do everything in one life. It's not humanly possible. We don't live long enough. If we live 3,000 or 4,000 years, okay, maybe. But on this planet, that doesn't happen. We live shorter lives on this planet. So that means that you have to come back again and again and again to work through and balance all the karmic effects. I've heard people say, well, you know, we should just erase all our karma. Well, there's a lot of really good karma out there. John McCain wasn't angry at his jailers. He could forgive them because he accepted the lesson they offered him. Wasn't angry. He wasn't bitter.
Okay. I have a very different understanding of that, but we're certainly not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the karmic evolution.
And we don't know the past life connection John McCain and those prisoners of war and those jailers may have had many, many lifetimes ago, if at all. We don't know, and it's not ours to judge. Well, what we're saying is he took the experience, and he had a choice. Mm-hmm. He took the experience and chose to use it as a life lesson. And he also chose to use it as a life of service to others. He could have, way back when, just stopped being in the public eye. Mm-hmm. He could have.
Chose not to do that.
Okay.
Whether you agree or disagree with his politics, we're looking at an individual and his dedication to his children, to his family, and that kind of thing. And it's not that we're saying he's lived a perfect life. These were his experiences in this incarnation. We don't know what's in store for him for the next.
It seems like this is a really important place for you ladies to define your understanding of karma.
Well, it's actually quite simple. It's a law of physics. It's not something some guru in Tibet made up. It's a law of physics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That is a law of physics. Mm-hmm. It is also spiritual law. It is also karmic law. So if I do a kind thing for this person, then a kind thing will come back to me. Okay, but we don't know when that kind thing will come back necessarily. We don't know what that kind thing will be, because it is a part of our, as humans, we have free will to make choices.
Well, let's say that you had a really difficult life, one life, and let's say you were a less than stellar person. In the next life, maybe you wanted an opportunity to be a different person. And so because of that, you had a harder, let's say that you were a terrible dad in one life. Well, in the next life, you want to come back and you want another opportunity to get it right this time. So you reincarnate with the same people, only this time you decide, I'm going to be a better person, and you go out of your way to be a really good dad, to change and balance what happened before.
It's interesting because I believe you guys are coming eventually to the same place as far as my thoughts on this, but you're coming from a very different direction. Karma to me is not a punitive force. It's more like a corrective force, and I describe it as a curb, or I talk about it in terms of there's this little ride at Disney called Autotopia, and there's these tiny little cars you get on, and you go around a track, but they never let you veer too far off of your path because there's a metal rail, and if you start to go off, it's going to bounce you back onto your path. And if I hear you correctly, you're saying essentially the same thing, just in a very different manner. Is that correct, or are we different on this?
I think there's elements of that, but there is something also called soul de-evolution. And back when we were talking about the ghost previously, a soul does not necessarily always incarnate from heaven. A soul can also incarnate from the fourth dimension, that's what Tina and I have been learning with what we do. When that happens, the dark entities can have control of somebody. It doesn't make the person a bad person, but they can have control and they come back to this planet incarnating, but they come back without the opportunity to have had that soul restoration and healing before they come back, which makes life even a little bit more difficult.
Well, let's use an example of a serial killer.
Oof.
I mean, this is a really heavy topic here, but people say, well, where do these people come from? You know, and the question I get is, why didn't their guardian angel look after them? Like, there is no guardian angel for a serial killer. They have a black magician on their shoulder. They have a very dark being that's pulling the string. They come in, they are born with a sociopathic personality. It is a psychiatric disorder. And people say, well, you know, they have a dark spiritual path. Yes, that's true. It's an understatement. These beings, these people, may have done horrible things in a previous life. And so they weren't ever sorry. They have no conscience. And life after life, where they do horrible things or horrible things that are done to them, bits and pieces of their souls are shaved off. And we go into this in this book in quite a bit of detail and build the logic trail that helps you understand how this happened.
Ladies, I apologize. I'm going to have to jump in here. We're going to have to take a short break. And when we come back, believe it or not, we have whipped through this whole show practically. But when we come back, we have enough time to ask you the final question of the evening, which is always, is there anything that you'd feel remiss in not sharing with our listening audience? We are here tonight with Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine, and their latest book is called Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties. And ladies, your website, if I remember correctly, is ghosthelpers.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we'll be back with more Inner Journey right after the station ID. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. You know you have a great guest on when the time flies by so quickly. You go, no way we've been talking for an hour. But we actually have. We are here with Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. And their latest book is called Soul Evolution. And their website is ghosthelpers.com. Ladies, first and foremost, thanks for joining us. And
we're always thrilled to be here. Thank you for having us. In fact, Greg, we've barely touched the surface, and Tina and I were just talking. As a thank you for your listeners, we'd like to make a small offering, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. So we've been looking at this. We barely touched the surface of this book, but for the first, for anybody who goes out and buys this book, you can find it on Amazon, on Kindle or print. If you take a picture of the book as proof that it's purchased and you email it to us at questions@thekarmicpath.com, questions@thekarmicpath.com, we will send you an email and we will do a live Q&A webinar on September 27th.
Oh, cool.
What do you think?
That sounds pretty phenomenal.
We may have to limit it to the first 50 people. We're not quite sure. It's just kind of on the fly here. But so for anybody who purchases this book on Amazon,
We'll do a live Q&A webinar on September 27th with any questions people may have.
And you guys, it's such a kick to hang out and talk to these ladies. And they are like an encyclopedia of ghosts and spirits and so many other entities. All right. Which one of you wants to go first? Is there anything that you'd feel remiss if you didn't share this evening?
The hour was too short. I know there's only 60 minutes in every hour, but...
And we only have a couple minutes now, unfortunately.
You know, at the end of the day, it's the crossing over a soul is the same compassion you would want for yourself or your loved ones. And to do it without judgment, to do it without, you know, crossing them over, don't hunt them down. That does not do the soul any good.
We also want people to feel empowered. You can use these prayers in private. No one would have to know if you're somehow embarrassed by it, which I can't imagine, but somebody might be. It's a very private moment. And that when you cross a soul over, it doesn't mean that you're lost them again. It means that you're offering them the greatest possible gift of service to connect them to the divine. And they'll be able to communicate with you so much better through the dream state instead of feeling what you may be feeling from them. And it's not that you're, quote, having to let them go. It's that you're now helping them to heal on every conceivable level that you could possibly imagine. And by the way, that is the karmic feeling you'll want for yourself, the compassion you'll want for yourself. Help these souls, and you'll actually sleep a lot better. You do. And you're not haunted at night. Imagine that, a good night's sleep.
I helped somebody cross over her ex-husband who'd been dead for about 10 years, and she messaged me back. She's like, oh, my God, I can sleep now. I haven't slept in 10 years because I kept getting touched and tapped and poked and this and that, and she had no idea what it was to sleep full night again.
I had a woman whose mother harassed her in life and harassed her in death. It took her 10 years to do something, and she had my business card a full year before she called me. And she said, I have the first night's sleep I've had in 10 years. So it does make a difference for the living and for the dead.
One more time, the website, ladies?
TheGhostHelpers.com and also TheKarmicPath.com. And again, anybody who purchases this book, Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties, you can get it on Amazon. Send us an email with a photo of the book or something, or receipt or something, to questions@thekarmicpath.com, and we'll do a live Q&A webinar on September 27th.
Perfect. Thank you very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you on or off air. Oh, such a pleasure. And as I have said on innumerable occasions, that there are so many different people that work their tushies off to put this show on. First and foremost, thank you. If you want to get a hold of us, social media is really simple. It's Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And I say this every single week. This show does not exist without your participation. You, the listening audience. For that, and so much more, we are hugely grateful. You've been listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. Good night.